Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers.
Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, flinging the weapon away, Adar reached for one of the other blasters, but the turncoat kicked it from his grasp and followed it up with a kick to his side. The move knocked the air from Adar's lungs as he grabbed onto one of the smaller weapons. Moving quickly, the turncoat picked up the blaster Adar had tossed aside and aimed it at Adar. The turncoat's smile told Adar all that he needed to know. He rolled out of the way just as a blast from the weapon hit the floor and burned a hole in the grate. Adar brought up the small blaster and fired a shot into the turncoat's chest. The man's face wrenched in pain as he screamed. And now, Chapter 26. Kira wanted to stab Adar with a dagger as he took off. Stay, she thought. Look captive? His actions had unfortunately caught her off guard, and she had no choice but to do as he said. She closed her eyes until they were slits, so she looked asleep but could still make out what was happening above her. It gave her a great view of the starry sky and not much else. A lazy trail of smoke danced above. She could make it out as it twisted and turned, almost looking playful. It was in stark contrast to everything else around it. Adar's boots crunched against the cobblestones as the much heavier boots of the Hunway ran toward her. Biting down on her teeth and imagining Adar with a knife sticking out of his eye, she held her breath and counted to 30. Her heart beat 3 times for every count. The heavy footsteps slowed to a stop as the monster came and stood over her. Through the slits of her eyes, she recognized a human face that looked down at her. It took an effort to keep still as her chest began to hurt. Surely this man could see the sweat beating up on her forehead. She let out a breath as if she were asleep and after a pause took in another. The human Hunway chased after Adar. She waited until the count of 5 before opening her eyes and turning to her side to see if the way was clear. I'm going to be killed, she thought, as she sat up and reached for the rope at her feet. She had not made much progress before Adar had pushed her down and told her not to move. Her shoulder blade had landed wrong and twinged with pain as she worked on the knots. No doubt a bruise was forming to go with all the others she had picked up today. After the events of last night, she was surprised she'd come through it all so easily. She was just shrugging off the rope when Adar called out. His yell was followed by blaster fire. Hoping he had not been hit, she bounced to her feet and made as if to run to him. She stopped dead in her tracks before going more than a couple of steps. What would she do when she caught up to Adar? Die with him? Instead, she surveyed the field. Adar had never explained to her how he had come by the blasters, but it was easy enough to figure out. After the Hunway had burned to death, he picked up weapons off the corpses. Dead Hunway were all over the town square. She ran to the closest and found 4 dead Hunway. 2 had fallen on top of one another, and their armor had fused together. One of their blasters was in between the 2 bodies and broke in half as she tried to pull it free. The piece she pulled out was still warm. She tossed it to the side. After hesitating, she touched the armor of the closest body. It was cool. When she reached to touch the place where the armor had joined, she pulled her hand back before making contact. It was too hot to touch. She found another blaster beside one of the other bodies, but the Hunway had been holding it as he died and the weapon was fused to his hand. She couldn't find the other blasters. Perhaps this was where Adar had got some of his. More blaster fire cut the early morning air, and it sounded like somebody had taken a sword and was attacking a boulder. Whoever it was didn't have long to live. Cursing, she ran to another group of Hunway and found all the blasters either destroyed or fused to the armor of the Hunway. It wasn't until the 4th group that she found a whole blaster. As she bent over to reach for it, a hand grabbed her shoulder and pulled her back. Why did you let him kill Tate? Isaac was red in the face and his hair was askew. His white silk shirt was torn and covered in enough ash she wouldn't have known its original color if she wouldn't have already been familiar with it. You had the chance to stop him, but let it happen. Is that what Billy told you? Kira ripped her arm free. He left out the part where Tate was trying to force himself on me, yet again. Isaac scowled. That's right. Again. I'm tired of you blaming me. Even before you tossed me aside, you could never accept you were wrong. Everything that went bad with us was my fault. She stopped for a breath. I did not kill your brother. He was trying to force himself on me. She paused. Again. Why would he use force? You've gone willingly before. That is not true. I know you don't believe it, but I'll say it until the day I die. You walked in and only believed him. Well, I've told you all I can. You need any more proof? Start with Billy. This time, Tate brought the blathering fool to help out. He knew I'm no easy meat. Stop lying. I'm not. You saw my black eye and the scratches down my chest. I wasn't trying to express my affection for the man. I've seen the way you look at him. Look at him? Kira snorted. Have you seen your brother? A goat wouldn't want him. A pig would turn her nose up at him. No, I only ever had eyes for you. I know you don't believe that, and with time I'll come to accept that. Enough, Isaac said. Where is the man that killed him? Kira almost sent him after Adar. She thought of Isaac approaching the ship and having a blast rip through his body. She wasn't surprised the idea of it filled her with terror. She could never go back to Isaac, but that was not a reason to send him to his death. Isaac, for all his faults, had always been kind to her. Even after finding her with Tate, he'd beaten Tate to a bloody pulp but had never laid a finger on her. He had ended their engagement and scared away the tavern's customers. That had almost been worse. Are you angry somebody else killed Tate before you could? She asked. Or are you seeking vengeance? If you're looking for people to blame, start with Billy. I'd have killed Tate myself if Billy had not been there holding me down. Where is he? Isaac's voice was cold, and the emotion that had been there before was gone. He'd done that as well, just before he told her to leave him and Tate. This was when Isaac was at his most dangerous. Not only did his willingness to kill come out, he rarely ever made a misstep when he got like this. In response, Kira kneed Isaac in the groin, or at least tried to. He saw it coming and turned so that she caught his thigh. She spun away to run, but he snagged a hold of her shoulder. For a brief second, Isaac was about to hit her. She could see it coming and braced for the impact, but he stopped short of carrying through with it. Instead, he took hold of her other arm as well and pulled her towards an overturned wagon cart she had not noticed in her hurry to find a blaster. Billy was there, along with Cain Coupley and Frander Dior. Where are the others? Isaac asked. Nobody in particular. They should have been here by now. I was clear about meeting in front of the governor's mansion. Maybe they are having a hard time, seeing as how it is destroyed, Kira said. Some of your men are not the brightest. She looked at Billy as she spoke. If he realized she was referring to him, his face did not show it. It's not too late to run, Cain said, rubbing his hand along the scar on his arm. Kira knew him well enough to know it was an anxious habit of his. He had refused to tell her how he'd come by the old wound, but she'd heard as a kid his father had been prone to fits of rage. Don't suggest it again, Isaac said. His voice was still cool, but had an edge to it. This is our town. We won't run. I don't care if the Hunway send 100 more ships. You saw what happened to them. Zekirani protected us. Against some, Kira said, but not all. Everybody looked at her. They have humans on their side, too. Cain is right. We need to go. The city will save us again, Isaac said, pushing her forward towards the ship she'd just come from, with Billy and the others close behind. She went without a fight until they were beside the bodies of the dead Hunway. The blaster was hidden in the shadows, but it had not been her imagination. It was there. She stomped down on Isaac's foot, twisted free and lunged for the weapon. Hands closed around her legs as she grabbed it and flipped to her back. She sat up and pointed the weapon at Isaac. He was kneeling and took hold of her legs again. Her sudden movement knocked him back. Are you going to shoot me? His voice was cold, so very cold. Just behind the distant edge of it, she could sense the wrath that he kept at bay, like a fire that was burning inside a building but had not yet broken free. I'm not. A hole appeared in Frander's chest as he cried out. Another blast took Cain as well. Billy dove out of the way as a shot sailed through the space he had been mere seconds before. She and Isaac had been in front of the others. If she wouldn't have done what she did, both she and Isaac, she let the thought go. The look of shock on Isaac's face sent a chill down her spine. He was usually in control. It was unnerving to see him afraid. A Hunway appeared out of the shadows, and Kira pointed the weapon and pulled the trigger. As the monster fell, she realized she'd shot right over Isaac's head. He had gone pale, expecting that she had been about to put an end to him. She reached out and touched his hand. He was still touching her shins, but the grip had faded away. He looked up, anger rekindling in his eyes. Honestly, Isaac, she said, If I would have wanted your brother, I would have made sure to end it with you. I know you never forgive. Can you set it aside? Even though it was foolish, she couldn't repress the feeling of hope she had growing in her chest. I know what I saw, Isaac said. You bitter blind fool, Kira stood, wanting nothing more than to bash him over the head with her blaster. Maybe force could convince him of a truth that he was unwilling to see. She bent down, intent on telling him to his face to leave her alone as a blast flew over her back. She dove forward, realizing how close she had come to death, again, and brought up her blaster. The area around them was calm, and she couldn't tell where the shot had come from. Cursing, she moved over beside Isaac, who was on his stomach as well. She could hear Billy scrambling as he made his way back to the overturned wagon. "You see them?" she asked. Isaac scowled. "Perhaps the Hunway will do what I cannot." She almost did take the blaster and whack him over the head at that, but she bit her lip and kept looking around, using the Hunway bodies for cover. It would have been just her luck that the Hunway spotted the movement and killed her before she'd had the satisfaction of hearing Isaac howl with pain. "So you want me dead but can't do it yourself?" She shook her head. "I keep asking why I didn't see you for who you are. It's so obvious now. How could I have been so blind before?" "There he is," she thought, as she looked through a gap in the Hunway corpses, feeling a little foolish for not having spotted the Hunway earlier. The monster had hidden among a pile of the dead as well. While all the others were on their back, he was on his stomach with the blaster pointed their direction. He must have been behind the Hunway Kira had killed and had gone to ground right after it had happened. She pressed the button and was about to pull back on the trigger when she spotted a group of Hunway moving behind her target. They were not heading towards her, but she decided to wait until they passed. There was no sense calling attention to themselves if unnecessary. Isaac's breathing returned to normal. When his arm brushed up against her, she had to force herself to not recoil. "He's right in front of us," Kira said, "hiding among the dead. I won't have a clear shot unless I move up." Isaac nodded his head. With another man, there might have been a flippant comment about how he had already spotted the monster and was waiting to see if she could find him, too. That was not how Isaac worked. He gave credit where it was due, even to a woman, one of his few redeeming qualities. "I'm going to find and kill the man that murdered Tate," Isaac said. "If you help me, I'll take it as a good sign of good faith that your story about Tate is true." Kira snorted. She knew a lie when she heard one. "I'd only do that if I wanted you dead. I've watched this man kill. He's reckless and fearless. The only thing you'll accomplish is dying the same way Tate did. Come with me. We'll flee the city. Start fresh." The words left her mouth before she could stop them, and she cringed. She didn't really mean that, did she? She was about to take them back until she realized Isaac appeared to be considering them. He was quiet for a long moment. Tate must be avenged. Tears welled up in Kira's eyes, but she blinked them back. "You're going to die," she said. "He knows you're chasing him. With a man like that, it won't be long before he's hunting you." Isaac nodded his head as if to say that was exactly what he wanted. Kira took her hand off the trigger while keeping an eye on the Hunway and brushed it across Isaac's hand. "He will kill you," she said. It looked as though Isaac was going to say something, but then he shook his head and scowled. "We can both agree you need to leave." Growling, Kira put her hand back on the trigger and lunged to her knees. She shot the Hunway and watched long enough to make sure the blast hit its mark before she stood. "I'm warning you," she said. "Walk away. Let this go." Isaac sat up. "Go." Turning her back, Kira stalked away, feeling his eyes on her back as she moved. When Billy poked his head out from behind the cart, she whacked him in the face with the butt of the blaster. He let out a yelp that might have been satisfying if she wouldn't have been so angry with Isaac. "Don't ever touch me again," she said, pleased at how emotionless her voice sounded. Billy looked up as he held his nose, blood running out from his hand and dripping down his arm. On the other hand, maybe it did feel a little good to see the sniveling man bleed.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.